The world is your body. We have now found out that many things which we felt to be basic realities of nature are social fictions, arising from commonly accepted or traditional ways of thinking about the world. Fictions are useful so long as they are taken as fictions. They are then simply ways of figuring the world which we agree to follow so that we can act in cooperation as we agree about inches and hours, numbers and words, mathematical systems and languages. As we have seen, troubles arise when we confuse the reality of ourselves and our fundamental relationships to the world with fictions we might have been taught. The nub problem is the self-contradictory definition of humankind itself as a separate and independent being in the world, as distinct from a special action of the world. Yet our whole knowledge of the world is, in one sense, self-knowledge, for knowing is a translation of external events into bodily processes, and especially into states of the nervous system and the brain. We know the world in terms of the body and in accordance with its structure. Surgical alterations of the nervous system give different types of perception, just as the microscope and telescope change the vision of the naked eye. Apart from your brain, or some brain, the world is devoid of light, heat, weight, solidarity, motion, space, time, or any other imaginable feature. All these phenomena are interactions of vibrations with a certain arrangement of neurons. Thus, vibrations of light and heat from the sun do not actually become light or heat until they interact with a living organism, just as no light beams are visible in space unless reflected by particles of atmosphere or dust. In other words, it takes two to make anything happen. A still more cogent example of existence as relationship is the production of a rainbow. For a rainbow appears only when there is a certain triangular relationship between three components: the sun, moisture in the atmosphere, and an observer. If all three are present, and if the angular relationship between them is correct, then, and only then, will there be the phenomenon rainbow. Diaphanous as it may be, a rainbow is no subjective hallucination. It can be verified by any number of observers, though each will see it at a slightly different position. As a boy, I once chased the end of a rainbow on my bicycle and was amazed to find that it always receded. It was like trying to catch the reflection of the moon on water. I did not then understand that no rainbow would appear unless the sun and I and the invisible center of the bow were on the same straight line, so that I changed the apparent position of the bow as I moved. The point is that an observer in the proper position is as necessary for the manifestation of a rainbow as the other two components, the sun and moisture. Of course, one could say that if the sun and a body of moisture were in the right relationship, say, over the ocean, any observer on a ship that sailed into line with them would see a rainbow. But one could also say that if an observer and the sun were correctly aligned, there would be a rainbow if there were moisture in the air.
The external world goes with you in just the same way as a back goes with a front. How would you know what you meant by yourself unless you knew what you meant by other? How would the sun be light if you didn't have eyes? How would vibrations in the air be noisy if you didn't have ears? How would rocks be hard if you didn't have soft skin? How would they be heavy if you didn't have muscles? It's only in relation to eyes that the sun is light. And it's only in relation to a certain musculature that rocks are heavy. So that the way you are constituted, the way your organism is formed, calls into being the phenomena of light and sound and weight and color and smell.
The relationship between an organism and its environment is mutual. Neither one is the cause or determinant of the other, since the arrangement between them is polar. If, then, it makes sense to explain the organism and its behavior in terms of the environment, it will also make sense to explain the environment in terms of the organism. Does this force us to the highly implausible conclusion that before the first living organism came into being equipped with a brain, there was no universe? That the organic and inorganic phenomena came into existence at the same temporal moment? Is it possible that all geological and astronomical history is a mere extrapolation, that is, talking about what would have happened if it had been observed? Perhaps. But I will venture a more cautious idea. The fact that every organism evokes its own environment must be corrected with the polar or opposite fact that the total environment evokes the organism. Furthermore, the total environment or situation is both spatial and temporal, both larger and longer than any organism contained in its field. The organism evokes knowledge of a past before it began and of a future beyond its death. At the other pole, the universe would not have started or manifested itself unless it was at some time going to include organisms, just as current will not begin to flow from the positive end of a wire until the negative terminal is secure. The principle is the same whether it takes the universe billions of years to polarize itself in the organism or whether it takes the current 1 second to traverse a wire 186,000 miles long. The difficulty of understanding the organism-environment polarity is psychological. We have been obsessed with a false humility, on the one hand, putting ourselves down as mere creatures who came into this world by the whim of God or the fluke of blind forces, and on the other, conceiving ourselves as separate personal egos fighting to control the physical world. We have lacked the real humility of recognizing that we are members of the biosphere, the harmony of contained conflicts, in which we cannot exist at all without the cooperation of plants, insects, fish, cattle, and bacteria. In the same measure, we have lacked the proper self-respect of recognizing that I, the individual organism, am a structure of such fabulous ingenuity that it calls the whole universe into being. In the act of putting everything at a distance so as to describe and control it, we have orphaned ourselves both from the surrounding world and from our own bodies, leaving I as a discontented and alienated spook, anxious, guilty, unrelated, and alone. The universe implies the organism, and each single organism implies the universe. The single glance of our spotlight, our narrowed attention, which has been taught to confuse its glimpses with separate things, must somehow be opened to the full vision.